Good morning. We welcome you to worship at College Park. Excited to be a part of this service together. A few announcements we'll make as we prepare for worship. First off, we'd like to find out who is here today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests, take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask, once it reaches the last person, when you're done filling it out, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be very helpful for us. Once it comes back to that first person, you're very important. Take out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you very much for your help with that. Invite you to take a look at the bulletin. There are several things under opportunities for the week. Just make note of those. Draw your attention to a couple of things. First off, in two Sundays, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday at 6 o'clock in the youth area, we're going to have a youth area celebration, the dedication service. We've recently completed the renovation down there, and we want to invite everyone to come down. We'll have a short worship service led by our youth. Also, we'll have some light refreshments and snacks for everyone to enjoy. This is not just for youth and their parents. This is for everyone. It will be from 6 until 7, very informal, very relaxed. Just come, hang out. If you haven't seen the youth room, it's a perfect opportunity to do that. But we want to celebrate and thank God for what he has done, not only in the youth area, but throughout the recent renovation. So we invite you to come in two Sundays at 6 o'clock to be a part of that special time together. This Thursday is the beginning of our primary basketball. This is for four-year-olds through third grade. We invite those kids to come, and we play from 6 until 7. We teach them the very basics of basketball, because basically that's all I can coach, are the very, very basics of basketball. And it's a great time. The kids love being together, and that will start this Thursday, and we'll go for 6 weeks, from 6 until 7. And so we hope that you're able to be a part of that. All you have to do to register is just come that night. We'll have the paperwork. It's very simple. And we would love for you to be a part of that. Let's see. There are other things listed there in the schedule. Just make note of those things. I think that's any other announcements? Are we good? I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You have already given us your information on the pew pad, and we're very thankful for that. And we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give something to you. Thank you for your time and giving us your information on the pew pad. Raise your hand right where you are, and the ushers will recognize you. They will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the history of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. My choir is about to sing Alleluia for the call to worship. And I want you to look at the words. They're listed there in your bulletin. And they're come adoring and confessing Alleluia. Come to God. Receive his blessing. Alleluia. God of God and King of kings. Alleluia. Maker of all wondrous things. Alleluia. Sing we praises unto you. Alleluia. Alleluia. Amen. God has done miraculous things in our lives. Done incredible things. Most of all, he loves us. And he sent his son to die on the cross for us. Shouldn't we come adoring and confessing? Let us prepare for worship and what God wants to do in us and through us this day. Let us prepare for worship.
Come adoring and
Will you pray with me? God, we want this to be our cry. To praise you with everything that we have. Because you have given us your Son. And so, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would come into this place. Be in this sanctuary. That we may feel your presence and not miss it. May we seek your truth. May we confess our sins. May we become more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
What a blessing to hear that beautiful song of praise in our sanctuary. Would you please join me in our responsive reading and join in the emboldened print? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, the privilege is ours to be called to share in the loving, healing, and reconciling mission of your Son, Jesus Christ, in this age and wherever we are. Since without you, we can do no good thing. May your Spirit make us wise. May your Spirit guide us. May your Spirit renew us. May your Spirit strengthen us so that we will be strong in faith, discerning in speech, courageous in witness, and persistent in good deeds. This we ask through the great name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I've been studying the last week in Leviticus chapters 8 through 9, and as I was looking back over the lesson this morning, this was a lot with other BSFers around the world and as well as in here. And anyway, it occurred to me how relevant that lesson is to what's going on in this church about this time, which, no coincidence, right, Raymond? Okay. Chapter 8 talks about the consecration of the priest and the tabernacles, and Jeff was just talking about dedicating the youth area in 2 weeks. So we have that to look forward to. Chapter 9 is all about the beginning of the priesthood, and they spent a week learning to be priests and offering sacrifices, which at the end of the week God accepted and the people rejoiced and worshiped. And then and that points to us to the Lord's Supper, which we just had last week. Is that right? Last week? Okay, I wasn't here. And then chapter 10 gets a little more, brings us back to the real world as Moses and Aaron are reminded that the Lord had told them, "Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored." And it reminded me of there is that wrath side of God that we don't like to talk about all the time, but it's part of his nature, and we can rejoice in that being satisfied through Jesus Christ. Which it also reminded me of our responsive reading that we just had about discernment in speech and courageous in witness. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for each believer called to your service here, to the facilities you've provided for us, And I would just ask that each person be consecrated, as well as the facilities to your service, and that you would be with those who are answering the call today. And let us be honest and discerning, and but not to sugarcoat the fact that your wrath must be satisfied. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
We begin now into a time that's one of my favorite times of the church year, and that's an opportunity for us to recognize as well as to give a blessing, to encourage those who have been called out from our congregation by you, the congregation, to lead us, to be servant leaders. And it's a wonderful time of celebration together as we hear from some of our candidates that have been elected. Before we get to those who are being newly installed, though, we want to give proper recognition and thanks to those who are completing a 3-year sentence service. And to do that, we want to ask Kent Hobson if he would come now. He is one of our outgoing deacons, but he has also served as chair this last year. Oh, that's right. You're actually staying with us. He didn't learn from his mistakes. He will be staying with us, but he's outgoing chair, and he's going to say a word of thanksgiving. Thank you, brother.
I would like to read Nick's 6 names to you. 5 of these names are very relieved individuals. Their 3-year term of service has ended. There is not a typo in our order of service today. Yes, you do see Terry Leffler's name in there twice.
He doesn't know whether he's coming or going.
That's right. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. And I'm going to make 2 assumptions on this, is that he has a very strong servant's heart, or he's a glutton for punishment. I'm going to lead to the servant heart explanation, but I would like to recognize the deacons that are rotating off. Now, once a deacon, always a deacon. You just won't endure monthly torture sessions. We call them deacons meetings, where we discuss a lot of stuff, and a lot of stuff we discuss stays in the room we're in. For one reason or another. But as I call your name, please stand so we can recognize you. Neural Godwin, who is Mr. Soundman, who's making us all sound wonderful today. Becky Haney. Charlie Jones. Terry Leffler. Chris Morris. And Doug Summers. Now, thank you. Be seated. Now, you saw where... You saw all the commotion. There's people coming from the choir loft. Ushers, I mean, we're called servant leaders for a reason, because we serve. And that is what one of the many roles of a deacon we have are, is that we serve. We don't lead. You are our leaders. You lead, and we follow. So I would like to thank this year's Board of Deacons for your faithfulness, for your love, for your advice, for the many things you have provided to me on this year of service that I've had as chairman. Had a lot of work to do, but then that's to be expected. When you look in the Bible, primarily in the 2 Timothy scripture passages, it talks about the qualifications of a deacon. I haven't found a qualification yet that I'm qualified for. I mean, this is pretty strong stuff that deacons are called to do. And it's very human to feel an emotion of, I'm not worthy. Because if I read this, there's no way I can serve. But God knows we're human. God knows we are saved. God knows we are forgiven. And we, as a body of deacons, servant leaders, do the will of the church and do the will of God. So I am grateful to have had this experience this year. I will be on the board one more year. Sarah, I wish you all the luck in the world this year. You've got 17 others that are going to be there for you. Thank you.
And to you, Kent, we're very thankful. It's been a great year, and his leadership has been strong, and we are truly blessed to have had him as chair of deacons this year. As he's already mentioned, Sarah Talley will be our chair of deacons this coming year, or in the current year, I guess. We're already started, and I want to ask her if she would come now and introduce those who are being installed, one of which is Terry, and we've joked about it, but Terry was gracious enough to fill in a term for one of our gentlemen who needed to step aside for health reasons, and by our Constitution, we went through that process, and Terry stepped into that role, but it also says in our Constitution was eligible to be elected in the next proper election, and so that's what's happened. So if you'll come greet them.
Thank you, Kent, for your leadership. And I feel I have a real advantage because Kent's still going to be on the board this year, so I know I can count on his support and guidance in the coming year. When we started our service, I looked around on the front pews, and there weren't very many people sitting there, and I thought, where are the deacons? And then I realized, as Kent's already mentioned, they were serving in other capacities, in music, ushering, sound. So this is just another role, another opportunity for you all to serve. And I certainly express my gratitude to you all to saying yes to serving as a deacon for the coming 3 years. Let me introduce those who are being installed today. And if you would stand, please. Joseph Alexander. Ken Hatchett. Terry Leffler, and Rusty Rose. Y'all can be seated. So we look forward to the coming year, to how God is going to lead us, and we certainly want the congregation to pray for us and let us know of things that you feel like we need to be attending to. We trust that God will guide us in the coming year. Thank you.
One of those who is being newly installed, Ken Hatchett, this is his first service here at College Park. So I asked him if he would just say a brief word to you about, if you do not know him, kind of an introduction of who he is and what brought him here to College Park. Ken, if you'd come at this time. Notice I said brief in there. Did you catch that? It's kind of subtle, but this is very direct.
I'll try to be brief. I'm not sure about that. First of all, I want to tell you this, that if you notice, my name is not on the list to speak this morning. You know, Jeremy and Michael were asked and give plenty of time to make it. He asked everybody to come to his office this morning. Someone forgot. So this is penance, I guess. I'm not sure. Something like that. The real reason I didn't come is my Sunday school teacher would not let me leave. That was the reason. He is tough on that sort of thing. But I've certainly had an opportunity to meet and talk to most of you. My name is Ken Hatchett, and most of you know me because I belong to Anita Hatchett, and which is a good thing. But to tell you a little bit about me, I met Anita in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. We lived in Oak Ridge for 20-something years. So the other thing I probably need to tell you, those of you who are familiar with Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and all of the nuclear stuff that goes on there, if you see a glow, it's not a halo. So just so you know that know about that, if you know about the nuclear facilities in Oak Ridge. But I was ordained as a deacon at Robertsville Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Had an opportunity to serve there for a number of years and a great church. As I said, I met Anita there. Our family was born, and we were raised them there. We moved around a little bit. We ended back up in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And got involved in a new startup church there, a small church. And Anita and I both served in that church in different capacities and as a deacon. I grew up, I'm from Alabama. Don't want to talk about the ball game last week at all. But I'm from Sylacauga, Alabama. How many of you have ever been to Sylacauga, Alabama? Well, that's good. You know, there's one of you, but the rest of you certainly have something to look forward to as you as you go forward. I'm excited about the opportunity to be involved in this capacity at this church. I can tell you that when we moved to Wake Forest, my daughter works at Wake Forest, that's when we moved to Winston-Salem and started looking for church, we spent quite a bit of time. As a matter of fact, I think it was about 6 months or so that we looked and visited churches and came to visit this church. And there was a lot of things that we enjoyed about it. We thought for the first three times we visited, though, that Jeff was the pastor because he preached every Sunday, the first three Sundays we were there. And no, I thought it was Raymond. I think I called him Raymond there for a while. And even after Raymond came back, we still decided to continue to come here, Jeff. But so there were some things that was very enticing about this church, and that is those four pictures that's on this wall right back here. I could not believe that over the life of this church, that a Baptist church had only had four pastors. To me, that spoke volumes for this church and about the grace and the commitment of the people of this. We're excited to be a part of College Park, and I'm excited about being able to serve in this capacity.
I guess out of all the things he could have said, those were the most gracious things. So thank you. Thank you, Ken. We also have two gentlemen today that this is a very special day for them and a special day for us. Jeremy and Michael are going to come in just a moment and share with you what has brought them to this point in their life. But let me say, we are truly blessed to have these two young men that have made themselves available and said yes when someone asked them if they would be willing to serve. Can we place your name in nomination? And we are truly grateful for your heart. I know you both know you well, and I love your heart because you really desire to serve and be used by God. And we as a congregation are blessed, just as you have been blessed, to be a part of this congregation, and I know that you know that. I'll ask them to come in alphabetical order, which happens to be in reverse order of how they spoke at 9 o'clock, so that's just fair, right? Jeremy, if you would come at this time.
Raymond took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say turnabout's fair play, right, Michael? And Ken, don't feel bad. I was also supposed to be at that meeting this morning, and I didn't make it, so that's a good start to my role as a deacon, I'm sure. So. Raymond asked us to talk about our journey to this point. And many of you know me from when I was about this big. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Jeremy Caldwell. I spent the latter part of my childhood years here at College Park. And just my being here today is a testament to the way God works in our lives and the way he has a plan, even though we may not know that plan. Because if you had asked me when I was in high school or college, even if I thought I would end up back in Winston-Salem, I would have told you that's probably not likely. But here I am today, and he's using me in many ways, and I look forward to seeing how he's using me more as we go along. I wrote down what I wanted to say because if it was in my head, it would fly out of it by the time we finish. So I hope you'll bear with me as I read. And I don't know about Michael, but after those loving words from Kent and from you about being a deacon, I was getting second thoughts here before I came up here. But my journey to this point was not a road to Damascus turnaround story, a Daniel testimony of the power of faith, or Moses' adventure in leading God's people to the promised land. But I have been abundantly blessed, and I truly believe that God is molding and shaping me into the man he needs me to be to effectively serve him and witness to a world that desperately needs to know him. As I look back on my life to this point, I realize how blessed I have been to have grown up in a Christian home with godly parents who taught me the value of faith, family, and giving to others from what I have been given. I went to church almost every Sunday during my childhood, and while admittedly most Sundays spent in big church were spent drawing and coloring or reading something that really had nothing to do with the sermon topic, I was consistently exposed to God's word, surrounded by people who exemplified God's love, and given the opportunity to serve others and show God's love to them. When I was 10 years old, I gave my life to Christ, but despite knowing what it meant to invite Christ into my heart, I still had no idea how much that decision would affect the rest of my life, and I'm still learning. Not long after this life-changing decision, our family came to College Park, and I was immediately welcomed into an even larger family of believers who would help me learn more about God's word, grow in faith, and develop the gifts and talents I have been given. From Sunday school lessons with Charlie Jones to working through, to life lessons on the basketball court with Charlie, David Page, Jason Cogdell, and Gary Elkins, to working through awkward middle school years and challenging high school years with Mary Nell Page, Alice Wilson, Kent Hobson, David Shannon, Carolyn Matthews, Bill Butendorp, and Raymond, God has placed countless individuals in my life to help me learn more about him and how I can serve him and be a witness for him through my thoughts, my words, and my actions. God has blessed me with the gift of singing, and while only he knows the ultimate plan for how he would have me use that gift for his glory, he has used the people of College Park to help develop that gift and my ability to use it. It was during my time in the youth choir with Jeff and Jenny Parker and my experiences with Raymond and U-Turn that I learned how to develop my vocal talents and use them for worship and outreach. And it is because of those experiences that I decided to pursue my bachelor's degree in music. My experiences as a member of College Park have also instilled in me a passion for missions and service. I have had the opportunity to participate in mission work in the local community, around the state, out of state, and abroad. And my College Park family made all these life-changing experiences possible. There are so many ways in which College Park has contributed to my spiritual growth and development, and I am convinced that I will learn and grow even more in faith and knowledge as part of the deaconate. Being surrounded by so many individuals whose diverse life experiences and spiritual walks have led to a broad collection of knowledge and wisdom from which we can all gain. I look forward to spending more time with each of my fellow deacons, learning from them and about them, and working together with them toward the common goal of guiding the church by actively seeking God's will and using our combined gifts and talents to further his kingdom. The College Park family has positively impacted my life in innumerable ways and has helped guide me in my walk with Christ. I am honored to have the opportunity to give back to this fellowship of believers who has given me so much. And I thank you for selecting me to join the deaconate and trusting me to help guide the church as a member of it.
Michael, it's your turn, brother. Come on up.
All I can say about the order of operations in this latter service is I must have messed up this morning. Jeremy's was that much better. And in answer to your question, Jeremy, I believe that's why they sit us in the front rows. They tell us how bad it's going to be, and we can't hit these doors. So good morning to everybody here. I want to start out by first telling you how humbling it is that you've put your faith in me to be a leader in this church. I've been working with the children and the youth department for several years now, but this is definitely going to be a whole new chapter. That position was one that I was asked to do by a small group of people. This position is one that all of you guys and all of you guys have put the faith in me to be able to take on, and that's definitely two completely different entities, and I appreciate you for that. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Michael Groover. I'm 39 years old. I live in Pofftown. I've been married to my wife, Courtney, for 16 years. We have two children, Jake, who's 10, Sarah, who's 13. I've been asked by Raymond to give you my testament on how I got to this place in my life. And to be completely honest with you, I struggled with that. We listened to Jeremy and how he grew up here in this church and his early beginnings and the way things were for him and his household. And to be completely honest with you, I didn't have that. I grew up in a household where it was a good house, but the church was not prioritized. Reading the Bible was not prioritized. It was not something that was first and foremost on our list of things to do. There were brief times of going to church here and there, but we really didn't do anything overly consistent. Now, don't get me wrong. I grew up in a great home. I had a great childhood. We had our ups and downs just like everybody else did, but it was a safe home, two loving parents, two great brothers who used me as a punching bag. Believe it or not, I was the smallest of three at one time. I am now the biggest of three, and I don't hesitate to remind them of that. My father had a corporate job that kept our family moving from state to state to state. We lived in six different places before I was 18, so there was really no consistent physical place for me to call home. It was always the last place we were. Every time we moved, home was the last state or the last home or wherever we used to be. The first time I ever really regularly attended church was here, believe it or not, at College Park. We had some good friends of ours, Jason and Brandy Smith, that asked us to come check out this church. They've got a 9 o'clock service. They've got 11 o'clock service. There's options. There's people here. It's a great crowd. You really need to come see them. They were persistent. They talked us into coming. I don't want to make it sound that way, but that's kind of the way it went. We came through the doors, and all of a sudden, here we are. We found something. We found the thing that I didn't know I was missing because I'd never seen this before. I didn't know what it was like to be part of a group like this, but we found something that we wanted our children to be involved in and something that I wanted to be involved in. The message that comes from College Park has been an inspiration to stay involved and to maintain that goal, to stay on task. 4 years ago, I was asked to take on the role of an RA leader, and this is a testament into itself. The boys teach me new things every time we meet. It's an inspiration when I get the boys, all of them together, listening to me, or so I think. We're headed down a path. We've got our lesson picked out. I know exactly what it is I'm going to say, and I have an 8-year-old stop me in the middle of my speech. I've got it all mapped out. I know where we're headed. An 8-year-old stops me, and we make a right turn. He completely derails me. But what they have to say is completely relevant. It sends us in a whole new direction. And that's where Jesus wants us to go. It shows me that he is working in their lives and he is working in mine. I've definitely learned as much from them as they've learned from me. The neat thing is the boys that I have had in the RA's program, I've graduated some of them up into the youth program. And now they're meeting me in the hallways, they're shaking my hands, and they're telling me, hey, there's some stuff we learned back in the RAs that's really helping me out now. We get real-world examples. They come and they want to talk about some issues they have. That's pretty inspiring to know that we're able to touch them. A few months ago, people started to ask me to consider the position of being a deacon. I was truly unsure. I did not know if I had what it takes to hold that title, to take on the responsibility, or the kind of faith that all of you were putting on me. I didn't know if I had that in me. I was looking for one of those moments. You know that moment we all heard, the burning bush. There it is. There's your moment. There's your sign. I wanted that. Here's where that moment comes in. I find myself, I'm also a scout leader, by the way, for one of our local scout troops. So I find myself wandering in scout camp by myself. I've left the kids to do an event. I've got to go start dinner. I'm in the backwoods up at Camp Raven Knob. It's raining. It's muddy. I'm sloshing down the road. I'm by myself. I'm steadily contemplating how I'm going to handle this deaconship. What am I going to do? So I start talking out loud, the real deal, out loud. You know, who does that? I was doing that. Talking out loud to Jesus. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? Am I capable of doing what's being asked of me to do? I ask him for that sign. I mean, are you supposed to do that? I didn't know, but I did. Ask him for that sign. So I'm on my way back to camp. I take a different trail. I knew where I was going, but I just shot out a different direction, and I ended up in a campground across the road from our campground where there's an older gentleman named Matt Cofield who was a grandfather of one of my scouts. He invited me over to talk. And in between getting the grill started and getting dinner going, we had a long conversation about his life as a scout leader, as a minister, and several other events in his life as well as in mine. I asked him what he thought about the position of deacon within a church. I didn't tell him what was on my heart. I didn't tell him what was on my mind. I was just looking for an explanation from him. One more explanation. Somebody give me one more thing for me to grab a hold of and understand this. He looked me in the eyes. He said, "I know you'll be a good one. You just have to have faith in yourself." How'd he know? You know, there's your sign. There it is. This man knew what he was talking about. While we were in our conversation, the rain stopped very briefly. The sun popped out just for a minute. We both commented on it, and I had the sense of calm that I had not felt since contemplating accepting the call to be deacon. In the rain, I ran into a true man of God in the wet, muddy woods back at scout camp who knew what was on my mind without me having to tell him. He was a spokesman that Jesus used to give me the sign to answer my questions, to push me to be the servant he wants me to be. Jesus at work. When I see Jesus at work, either on the muddy trail in the mountains or upstairs in the youth room, and it inspires me to be a better person, to keep moving forward with the mission. Jesus in prayer, the prayers I hear in Sunday school, that I hear from all of you members, that I hear from the kids up in the youth hall, every prayer I hear here at College Park, and the answers that come from it, and the faith that's involved with it, truly amazes me. I don't always understand things immediately, but it seems like in God's time, everything comes into complete focus. So once again, I'm humbled by the faith that all of you put in me with this nomination. I'm honored and proud to be ordained by this church and this group of people that are looking back at me right now. I look forward to being able to serve the church in any way that I am capable of, and I thank you for your nomination.
Before we move into the time of laying on of hands, we are going to have a covenant of commitment that you will share in with us. In your order of service, there is a section that's labeled various things, vows of deacons to be ordained, and on down through there. There will be instructions for each of you as we get to that point. So right now, as we begin our covenants together, I want to ask those who are being ordained, Michael and Jeremy, if you would please stand. You have been elected by your church family to serve as a deacon. Today, we've come to formally ordain you to the office. And before we proceed, we'd like to hear your intentions concerning the fulfillment of this responsibility. Do you believe in your heart that you are truly called according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ministry of a deacon? Will you fulfill the duties and responsibilities of the office of a deacon, some of which are to be a fellow servant of Christ with the pastor in the church, to set an example of moral uprightness and dedication to the will of God, and to be a leader with the pastor in serving to fulfill the mission of the church, and to seek to build harmony in the life and ministries of the church? Will you seek to be a person of faith and vision, always open to opportunities for witness and fresh ways of ministry and service as God may lead? If you would remain standing, please, and those who are being newly installed, if you would join them in standing. You have been elected to serve as a deacon at College Park, and you've declared your willingness to serve. I ask your assent to the following questions. Do you affirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and His church? Do you accept the office of deacon of this church and promise faithfully to perform its duties? Do you promise to seek to be open to the Holy Spirit, to be used for the fulfillment of God's purposes, church, and cooperate with pastors and members in promoting harmony and effectiveness in all its ministries? Do you who are presently serving as active deacons reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and His church? Do you pledge to unite with these new members of the diaconate in faithful service, seeking always to let Christ be lifted up? If so, would you let it be known by joining them in standing? Do you, the members of College Park Baptist Church, pledge yourself anew to the person of Jesus Christ and His church? And do you acknowledge and receive these new persons as deacons? And do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the mission of the church? If so, would you please join them in standing? As your brother in Christ and your pastor, I charge you, the candidates, and you, the other members of College Park, to remember the covenant we have made with each other and to carry out these promises faithfully as God gives us wisdom and strength. Thank you. You may be seated. We are going to enter into a time of laying on of hands, and for those of you who may not be familiar with this tradition, it is an opportunity. There's nothing creepy or spooky about this. This is a time of encouragement. This is a time for those who are allowing themselves to be ordained to have a word of encouragement, a brief prayer, something along that line from you. For the sake of time and the flow of this service, I want to ask you to do me a favor, if you would, please. We want, if you don't mind, please, if we could limit those who come forward for the laying on of hands to family members, close personal friends, and those of you who have been previously ordained, that would be very helpful. The candidates are going to come, and they're going to kneel, and for those of you that fall within those parameters, we invite you to come down this aisle and speak with them and return up this aisle. Let me say this, though. Everyone else, you will have an opportunity, because at the conclusion of the service, Michael and Jeremy will be here at the front, and they would love to hear from you. So if you would stay with us. Those of you who are guests with us today, thank you for your patience. I know this is something that may or may not be familiar to you, but it's a special time in the life of our church, and we thank you for being here with us. Michael and Jeremy, if you would come. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, now, this is an humbling time. It's an emotional time because we know and we recognize and we see within these young men you at work in their lives that brought them to this day. You at work among this body who helped bring them to this day. And God, we pray from this point forward that you would protect these and all those who have stepped forward to serve. Pray that you would protect them from Satan's arrows, as we would say, but those come through people who either intentionally or unintentionally hurt. We pray that you would protect them from their own selfishness. We pray that you would protect them from the desire to be seen rather than to serve. And Father, we pray all of those same things for ourselves as we all seek to be used by you as the body of Christ to serve your name faithfully this day and every day. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. They're going to be here at the end of this service, and I hope that you'll take an opportunity to stop by, offer a word of encouragement to them. I want to give you a chance to respond. Maybe you're sitting there, and as you've experienced this, you've said to yourself, I don't have that kind of relationship they've talked about with Jesus Christ. I want to give you a chance to respond to that. I'll be glad to tell you how you can receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, or call me this week. I'll be glad to talk with you then. If you're here and you say, I am a believer, but I'm not sure that I could do what they're doing. Well, perhaps that's because even though you're a believer, maybe you're not walking with Christ personally every day. And that's something that you can change today. You can surrender yourself completely. Say, God, I want a fresh start. From this day forward, I want to walk with you. I want to do the things you want me to do. I want to hear from you daily. And I want to respond to that. You can certainly do that where you're standing and singing. Or you can come. The altar will be open. You can come here. Or I'll be glad to speak with you if you'd like to. And if you're here and you'd like to be a member of College Park, we receive members in many ways. I'd be glad to speak with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand together now and sing. Remain standing for just a moment. I want to present to Jeremy his certificate of ordination for representing and helping him to remember this day and moving forward, as well as a Bible. Both of these gentlemen spoke to the importance of being grounded in God's Word, and we want to continue to encourage them to keep up that wonderful discipline. And so we are giving them another Bible. I know you both have Bibles, but hopefully this will be a help to you as well. And to Michael, we also have certificate as well as a Bible, and we continue you both, or challenge you both to continue in your study and in your application of God's Word. I know you want to come speak to them. I know we've run a little bit long today, but it's good time together, isn't it? It's good work we do here together. I want to invite you. We're going to have a benediction and then response. And following that, speak a word of encouragement to each other as well as to these gentlemen and their families. Let's pray together. Father, it's a glorious day. It's a time where we can recognize you and who you are and what you're doing in the lives of people all around us. God, we thank you. We thank you for the blessings of this day. And we pray that as we go forth from here, that we would truly bless you by the things we say and do to further your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.